Good morning, this is Hector Garcia, and you're listening to the Something New podcast. Saturday morning, December 16th, I'm Hector Garcia with New Creative. I've got a hot cup of coffee in my hand. I'm chilling by the fireplace. And today I'm talking with Jose Baker with 1885 Coffee Roasting Company out of San Antonio, Texas. I'm doing a series called Doing What You Love, and Jose's definitely someone who's doing what he loves. He's got a passion for cycling. He loves the hell out of coffee. And he's been able to mesh both of those passions with the creation of his own coffee roasting company, 1885 Coffee Roasting. So we're going to talk to him this morning. We're going to find out what he's been up to, what his plans are for 2018. And let's go ahead and get into that. Jose Baker, 1885 Coffee Roasting Company.
What's up?
Jose Baker.
What's going on?
¿Cómo está, señor?
Bien. I saw your first time using this app, and I saw your face there, and it's like, if you're not ready to record, you can hang up. I'm like, it's Hector. I'm going to hang up.
Hey, we're going to do the show in Spanish for all our Spanish-speaking friends. ¿Puedes o no puedes?
También puedo en español, en inglés.
¿Y en francés?
Ah, francés no. My English is not very good looking, but I'll try.
All right, if you're tuning in, I have Jose Baker. He's with 1885 Coffee. This is part two of a series that we're doing called Doing What You Love. And I would say you're doing what you love, right, bro? Because, I mean, you have a passion for cycling. You have a passion and love for coffee. And you're able to mesh both of those in this new brand you created called 1885 Coffee. It's coffee roasting company, right?
Yes, that is correct.
Coffee company.
I think also the name kind of plays well. So if in the future there was an interest to like turn it into a brick and mortar coffee company, kind of also kind of has a nice ring to it. But yeah, this whole project, it was definitely born out of just a personal interest of coffee in general. The whole idea was, you know, where can I make a contribution in the coffee line? I mean, obviously, and going into a brick and mortar coffee shop that requires a major capital investment and without prior experience. And at the same time, I also had the opportunity to meet certain key people here in town in San Antonio who were able to share their knowledge with me. They're a well-established commercial coffee roaster here. So it started picking my brain. So I was like, oh, this is something I could do. There's a lot of craft behind it. There's theory. There's a little bit of science. But at the same time, it's also a very sensory experience, because at the end of the day, the people that are drinking that coffee, you want them to like it, right? You want them to really keep consuming it. So I'm like, okay, I think I can do this. And then at the same time, I'm like, how are we going to brand this? What are we going to call it? I mean, I've always, you know, we like bicycles. I don't only like racing bikes, but I like road bikes, but I like all kinds of bicycles, like just cruisers, just chill rides, fixies. So I'm like, it has to be something. And you and I had this conversation before too. It has to be something that is really relevant. So I read a couple of books. I found a little cool story about that year and whatever happened that year in the bicycle manufacturing world. And this part of history that not many people are familiar with, but there's a bicycle called a safety bicycle that came after the high wheel. And that is kind of the rendering on the logo in an animation of it. So it's a key year in the bicycle manufacturing world that is where the first safety bicycle, the first bicycle that had a rear wheel chain drive and a proper diamond looking frame. So all those things are actually considered the birth of modern cycling, you see. And that's kind of how I went about in picking that name.
Because before that, it was what was common were the penny bikes, which had the huge front wheel and the tiny.
Yes. And
there was no chain drive. It was like a unicycle. It had a fixed.
Yeah, the pedals were actually in the front wheel, you see. So you were doing the steering with the pedals as well. So all those, like you can imagine, had a bunch of like mechanical issues as well as personal hazard things. So that guy actually, where there were they were related, the inventors. So they came up with this bicycle that the front wheel is a little bit, not still the same size as the one in the back, but it starts getting smaller. And a few months down the road, they actually got it. And they're like, okay, we don't need to have this anymore. They make both wheels the same size.
Right. Because, yeah, you've ridden a penny bike,
no,
right?
Man, I haven't had a chance, but I definitely would like to do it. No.
You haven't? And, hey, they're fun, but it's crazy that was, like, one of the first bicycles because that thing's dangerous.
Man, they were doing races on those things. You can find videos on YouTube of people racing on those bicycles. It was in the 70s and the 80s. That was a big thing because the inventor, the creator of this, were a certain gentleman from England. So all those people were also migrating through New York and Brooklyn. So during those years, those days, that was the big thing. Even like women also riding these bicycles, and it was a very social thing. The penny bikes, they would meet in like close rinks and just ride the bikes around, and it was like a thing also to socialize. So it was like the thing to do. Okay. So,
right, wow, well that's awesome. So yeah, if you're listening, you know, you can go to the 1885 website or Facebook or Instagram and see an image of the bike that Jose's talking about. And you would say that in 1885, that was the beginning of what we know as the modern bike.
Yes, that's actually a cycling magazine during those days called it that was the year that it was setting the pattern for cycling, you see, for the future.
Right.
So I thought I read it on a book, and I'm like, hey, man, this is key. And it just mentions the year like that. So I'm like, oh, this is cool. And a lot of things, and then I read more, and a lot of things happening in the coffee world as well that were happening too in terms of coffee technology and roasting equipment, like a new designs were being created for roasting equipment and all the accessories with it. And that technology has not changed to this day too. So it was, I'm like, all these things kind of work together. And then I'm like, okay, now let's get to work. You see, let's start creating some good coffee.
Man, that's awesome. So this is what I love about your brand is that when you first talked to me about helping you, you know, create the branding and some logos and stuff for it, and you shared all the history, I was like, man, you already did all the hard work, bro. Like, you actually put a lot of thought into the name, into the brand. You already kind of knew what you wanted. And I love it because a lot of people will start companies and then they'll just pull a name out of the air and be like, okay, I'm going to call my company this. And it has no real meaning behind it, but yours definitely has a lot of meaning behind it.
Yeah.
So it's solid.
We had this opportunity, you and I, to talk about this. And when I thought too, it's like a light bulb clicked. And I'm like, oh, this is a nice conversation opener as well. You see, it allows to introduce the coffee yourself, tell a little bit of history that people don't know about. Like, and it really shows people that passion. Because I think when, as an entrepreneur, when you're starting, part of the journey is that people want to see, what is that drive? You see, it's like the coffee is good because they already like brewed it and it's like, oh, it's pretty good stuff. But then it's like, oh, who is behind it too, right? Or what is behind it? So I'm starting to learn those things. And you and I had conversations about this too. It's like, I'm an engineer by trade. That's what I went to school for. So this is a lot of new stuff for me. I'm like, it's like a one-man show right now. So it's understanding the entrepreneurship and the business part of things. You see, trying to keep that all under control. But definitely, I think one of the things that I've learned of this opportunity is that customer service is key, you see. Image is key. How do you build rapport with the customers and show that you're really interested? Because at the end of the day, it's like, the coffee is great, but if the customer service is there, the thing is going to taste amazing. You see, it's yeah. So in a world of coffees where specialty coffee has made an entrance in the South and in Texas in the past 6-7 years, we're understanding what the East Coast and the West Coast were doing 20 years ago, we are understanding what is the value of these things. But there's a lot of competitors, you see, and there's certain things that I'm also experiencing. And one of this, they're territorial. People get a little bit like, you know, very defensive about their thing. So I'm like, what is really important is building that like brand loyalty, right? And understanding those key aspects of your business. And for me, all that is new, that is like open a whole different world, you see. Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Yeah, if you're listening, we have Jose on the phone, so there may be some breaks just because cellular service sometimes is shitty, but
yeah,
we're here. So let me ask you this. So so the last time I visited you in San Antonio, I was able to firsthand like see like, man, you're living, eating, and breathing coffee, probably to the point where your significant other wants to punch you in the face.
Yes, you're I'm absolutely sure
you're
right.
You're talking about coffee all day. There's coffee beans all over the house.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You see, that is definitely an occurrence. And sometimes, and I've become better at that, obviously, this is, and you and I had this conversation. Well, it's a personal passion, right? And it's we put this analogy, you and I, when we had this conversation, it's a baby, right? It's a baby that you're trying to like nurture into becoming something bigger. But at the same time, when you're at home, you sometimes have to turn it off. You see, a little.
Yeah.
And I'm learning that. I mean, because you got to understand that maybe your significant other, girlfriend, it's not that she doesn't share that or support it, because she does, but sometimes it's a personal thing. So you got to understand that it's like, hey, this person supports you and really wants the best for you and will help you out. But sometimes they don't want to talk about it all night long about the same thing, you see. So
if we're talking about, if we're talking about doing what you love too, then in order for you to succeed, like, You do have to live, eat, breathe your passion.
Yes.
You're never going to go anywhere. So, you know, it's part of the process. And, yeah, you have to find the balance, in your family. Mm-hmm. Can't be talking about coffee on a dinner date. And then it's the last thing you also talk about when you're laying in bed.
It's like, what do you think about coffee? What do you think about that coffee? And it's like, it's 10 p.m. It's 10 p.m. Go to sleep. No one's drinking coffee right now. So, yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, you got to know who is your audience and who you're talking to.
So right now, you there?
Yeah.
Okay. So right now you're just kind of, you're getting your feet wet. You've already made some good connections too. I think the last time you told me there's a bar in San Antonio that has partnered with you and wants to, they're creating a certain
drink using your brand. It's interesting, like fun that you mentioned it right now, because that is happening tonight, actually. Is this, it's tonight. It's actually this, like a bunch of like friends or associates, they started 4 years ago, distillery, a brandy distillery made out of apricots. And it's a family recipe from Eastern Europe. And they decided to like get it like started 4 years ago, and this today is their 4th year anniversary. So in the process, 2 years.
What's the name of
that? The name of that place is called Dorcho Distillery and Brewing Company. It's actually, well, you were here at home. It's actually like a mile down the road. You see, I go there all the time.
Okay. Cool.
So I just went there and I started having conversation. It's like you always. You start a little bit of conversation and you see where it leads. If people are not interested, well, you know, not everyone is a coffee drinker, not everyone is a beer drinker. But I brought him this idea and we sat down and we just started drinking coffee and beer with the brewmaster there, a gentleman around 55 years old, very knowledgeable. And he's like, okay, we never done anything with coffee, but let's do this. It's going to be a limited edition. It's about 10 gallons. So once it's gone, it's gone. It's a series. They're starting. So I was lucky. I was lucky enough that, you know, this opportunity, you just mentioned something. And that is the other key thing, is like finding like-minded individuals, you see, that are willing to take a little bit of a leap of faith with you too. And when they see you, like you said, they see you that you're talking about something, that you're interested, they're like, man, this guy is really living this, you see? So, I mean, at least that's how I view it, if someone would come to me. So I'm like, okay.
Well, that's how, if you're not out there busy and promoting and living, eating, breathing your passion and your business, like, you're going to miss opportunities like this. So, no, this is awesome. So what are they actually doing with your coffee? Like,
so it's a final product? It's a style of beer that I was not familiar with. It's a... The style is a Belgian double, which is, you're probably familiar with a beer called Chimay, I think that's pronounced. So it's a typical, similar to that, it's a Belgian style beer, but it's infused with the coffee after, not in the front end of the fermenting process, but after. So it's very particular, it's very aromatic, and it has a taste, undertones of coffee, but... Because the brewmaster was pretty clear. He's like, I want something that we have never done. Like, we have stouts, we have stuff with coffee. I want to keep it light, and this is the type of beer I want. So I'm like, okay, good. I mean, I don't know much. I'm like, I'll follow the lead. And it ended up being a nice project. We had an opportunity to sample last weekend with Molly, and she's a beer drinker, but not as like hot. But she even was surprised. She's like, oh, this is very interesting. You see, it's a nice flavor, pretty light, and at the same time,
so you get drunk. It's like how much
8% alcohol, so it'll get you drunk.
Mr. Jose Baker.
Yes.
Can you hear me, sir?
Yeah, I don't know why we're having this issue, but yeah, coffee. I can hear. Yes, sir. Yes, I'm here.
You cut off on me.
No, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Jose.
Yes, I'm here.
All right, I'm going to cut off and come back.
Hey, Hector.
All right, thank you for staying with us. We had some technical difficulties. We're going to bring Jose Baker with 1885 Coffee back on the line here in just a few seconds. So don't go anywhere. Thank you. Something new, doing what you love. Boom.
Bro.
Chale, vato.
You keep waking me up, bro. Trying to take a nap here. No, I'm just kidding.
Hey, bro, you need to pay your Boost Mobile bill.
Bro,
cutting you off.
Those calling cards for Mexico and Honduras, bro, screwing me up.
All right, we're going to just pick up where we left off. So So you're actually from Honduras. You've only been here in the U.S. for 15 years. How did you get here?
You know, part of it was... the American dream, you see, the American dream, the land of opportunities. My mom was here already living in New Orleans at that time, around 2002. So she made it possible so I could come here and get a college education in engineering. And many things happened during those years. In 2005, I had already finished degree. I ended up in Texas because of Hurricane Katrina. So it was totally unplanned to come to Texas.
Wow.
Yeah, and then...
Katrina refugee?
Bro, I'm not a Katrina evacuee, bro.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, I am. I kind of had some friends in Spring, Texas, then kind of roamed a little bit in Bryan, Texas, and ended up in College Station. And there I met some good people. And like a few months later, I was already in the graduate program for mechanical engineering, you see, without having any plans, like no plans. So things happen. 2008 came around. I found a job in Houston. after that degree, it was kind of hard too, because at that time I didn't have a work permit. So I was hoping that, like, to get a position that they would get that for me, because if not, in a year, you have to go back to your country. So all these things, you see, is 2008, the housing market collapsed, and I'm like, man, I'm the new guy in the company. They're going to fire me. I'm the first one they're going to fire. But that didn't happen. So good things have happened to me during all this time. Like I said, I didn't have plans to be here in Texas. And now, a few years fast forward, we're here in San Antonio for a job opportunity, working with a research facility up here in town. So it's been nice. San Antonio is going through a lot of good growth regarding food and beverage industry, and just like the hotel industry in general. It's not only what people think of, like the Riverwalk. You were here, yeah. you visited, you came and hang out with us, so you notice that there's a lot of things happening. So that's kind of how the things have 15 years. And to close it all up, like this part of the story, 2 years, 2 days ago, I was just naturalized U.S. citizen, you see. So that was like,
mm-hmm.
It was a very significant moment, man. I'm a gringo now, you see.
Yeah, you're Bolio. Now you just gotta your accent.
Yeah, like, bro. You need to make me sound good on this podcast, bro.
No, you know what though? I always wish I had an accent like yours. you sound smarter. Women think it's sexy.
Bro, those are urban legends, bro. Urban legends. that doesn't always work.
is that how you ended up with your girl right now? Like, she was drawn in by your sexy
by the accent, and the accent and the laugh, my laugh.
Oh, that's what it is.
That's what she told her friends. She's like, it was the laugh. Right, Molly?
Cool.
Yeah, she's in that.
So this is what's cool. You come here only 15 years ago. You get your degree. You go to school. You become an engineer. Successful, you know, career. And now you're doing what a lot of people wish they could do. But you've stepped out to do it, which is start your own company. And now you're doing 1885 Coffee. And as I mentioned earlier, I can only just see you continually moving up, because this is in you, like, this is not a hobby either. Like, you're in this. You're living, breathing, eating coffee, even though your girlfriend probably wants to punch you in the face.
Yeah, a couple times a day, probably.
Yeah. Go ahead.
No. You're absolutely right. I mean, there's definitely a passion, a innate passion for something, which it was born between from the fact that I started doing it, and you're like, whoa. And I spread it like with amongst friends. I gave them all the samples, including you and other people in Houston, because that's where most of my following is, because I spent there almost 10 years, right? So so they're like, Jose, this is pretty good. So the reward was immediate, the psychological reward. I felt good because I'm like, oh man, I'm doing something and people like it. So that immediately fed my, like, keep feeding my passion. You see, I'm like, I can do something that it will cause an impact, an immediate impact, more than what I've been doing for 8 years in oil and gas, for example. When I was there, I mean, many projects got shut down, so certain things didn't work out, or you see projects to fruition 3 years later. So by doing this, it's like, oh, I can do this. But at the same time, I'm like, okay, now how do we start turning this into a business, or let me understand this a little bit more. And that is what is happening now. Obviously, the passion is there, and you have to follow that passion. You cannot really go in and thinking about the money, you see. And that is, I think, certain mistakes when they're looking for the money. And it's like, that is not really, I think, at least in how I see from other leaders and others, like motivators that are out there, they're like, you have to nurture that. And that's kind of where I'm at right now, understanding this and networking and learning from people, you see.
Totally. Yeah, because that drive and passion, people don't see that here's what people see. They'll see a successful person, they kind of, you know, quote unquote made it, or they have a successful business. What they don't see is all those years before that of the hard work, getting dirty, like, you know, you're getting started. getting out there and promoting yourself. You're doing the market. Who's a rescue pit bull?
Yeah. So.
You there?
Yes, I'm here. I'm here. Hello.
I think you cut off again on me, sir.
No, I'm here. Are you listening?
We might have to go do one more segment.
Hello? Hector?
Jose, are you there?
I'm here, bro. Hello?
Oh, I think we lost him, ladies and gentlemen.
Hello? Hector?
All right, all right. We lost Jose one more time, but we're going to come right back. He just went outside to get a good signal. So let's finish off this podcast with Jose Baker, 1885 Coffee. Boom.
Hello.
All right, so Jose's been running around the house trying to get a good signal. He's been outside. He's run down the street.
He got wet in the rain.
So, all right, so the last thing we were talking about was a new blend that you put out in honor and tribute for your dog, Jack, which is a rescue pit bull you got here in Houston. Tell us more about that and what's up with your love for dogs, mainly pit bulls. Like, you really love pit bulls, don't you?
Yeah, you know what? It's, first of all, I think that one of the reasons I really like that breed is because it's so misunderstood. You see, under any conditions, under any situations, if something ever happens and there's a pit bull around, he's always going to be blamed for something. that breed is always going to take the blame. I mean, if there's like a fight or something happens. So it's a really misunderstood breed, and I think it deserves a little bit more affection and respect. And when you picked up that dog and we fostered him like for 2 days before we decided we're going to keep him.
Right.
It was a hard time for me too, because I had recently let go from work in Houston, and I spent unemployed almost 7 months. So he was my companion during that time. And it kind of I was able to relive those times when I was a kid and had a dog, you see. So we grew close together, and I'm like, you know what? Things that you are passionate about doing have to have association, I think, with the things you love. So I'm like, when you create a coffee blend, I'm like, why don't we make this guy this his own thing? You see. So we animated his face, that signature look you see on that bag with his ears sticking up. And we're going to, the blend is actually going to become a series called the Mad Dog Blend series of all the stuff that we have in stock, or it's seasonal, but each of them will have its own number, for example, and its own identifier. So for a espresso blend, for example, we can call it like Jacked Up Espresso or something like that. You see, something, make it funny too. And we always like the name that you gave your rescue dogs, like food, like Jumbo Jack. So that always sticked. And eventually, as we grow, we want to give back to those causes, you see, like you helping foster, maybe finding a charity that works with those kind of dogs or pets in general.
Right.
See, so that is one thing, like in the future, as we're able to grow and give a little bit back, you see, to help.
So yeah, in addition to just the coffee brand having a bike-centric attachment to it, it's also going to have just your love for dogs involved. So that's awesome, bro.
Yeah, and just sharing. I think people like to hear stories. I think people like to build and associate with stories. And when you're growing and when something is being created, people like to, I've gotten the love for certain people. People have called me even from Honduras, and they're like, Jose, we're thinking about you. This is new. I know that there's a lot of coffee people like in that game, but it's like, we see you and we see how you talk about this stuff, that it's like, we know it's like. So one thing I've learned, Hector, is patience.
Bye.
You have to be patient, and and talk to the right people and associate with the right people. And I think when you put a good energy out in the world, it will come back. But one also thing that I'm learning, just kind of closing up here with you, is there's certain ways when you start a entrepreneurship or a business, it's like either you have a lot of money and you can just put money into the project, right? And it'll flourish. But when you're not, when you don't have that ability and you still have your day job that is the one that is still financing this project, you're like, man, you have to fucking hustle. You see, it's like, it's you have to put the time. I come from work and I kind of change hats, 5:30, 6 p.m., go to bed to 12:30, 1, and then do the same thing because you're always thinking and your mind is always thinking, even during your daytime, you see. So it's definitely, you have to put the time, but at the same time, don't let that drive go too quick, because if you go too fast, you may lose the big picture of meeting other people and at the same time making too fast of decisions. So that's where you have to be patience, right? Patience and see what's happening around you. So I'm learning those new tricks, man. I'm learning, just understanding
right
those things.
No, that's awesome, dude. So you actually have a site where people can order your coffee, and what's the farthest so far that you've had to send out some coffee to a customer?
Man, you know what? It's funny, but I have a friend who is training to be an FBI agent, and I sent something to Quantico, you see, up in Langley. So that was, I thought it was a cool thing, and he's like, hey, Jose, are you there, Hector?
Yeah, I'm listening.
Yeah, he told me, hey, you need to write the address like this and like that, and I'm like, okay. So that was fun. It was a friend from Houston, so it was an interesting thing. And as far, I actually sent some to some friends in Honduras, you see. Yeah. So yeah, it's people that are, like I tell you, supporting the idea and interested in seeing. You see, that's the people that really love and care about you when they're interested in seeing. Hey, I want to be part of this and see where this guy goes or right. See where this project goes. So, yeah, the website is a pretty simple web page, like a web shop. It's called 1885coffee.com.
Right.
And it shows the current coffee offerings that we have. Nothing really fancy. Not yet. We're going to work that as we go. And,
right.
And a couple of, like, merchandise items. And if you go to, like, the social media outlets like Facebook and Instagram, if they do a quick search for 1885 coffee, they'll find us there as well.
Okay. So if I order coffee today, for example, how soon could I have it?
Ideally, it will take a couple of days, you see, to get the roast. So,
okay.
And plus, I used to 2-day priority, and we were in Texas. You'll probably have it in 3-4 days, all you right. See, something like that.
I'm
yeah.
Gonna test it. I'm going to order some online and test it.
Go ahead. Go ahead, bro. I'll send the bag half empty.
My bag will probably come with other stuff inside instead of coffee.
I'll put rocks in
there. Yeah, a bunch of rocks.
Rocks and jack poop.
Cool, man. Man, I really appreciate you taking the time out, talking to us. You know, we'll have this podcast out. We'll share it out. And if anybody wants to reach you, like, how do they follow you? Where are you at on Instagram and Facebook, et cetera?
Yeah, like I said, if they do a search for 1885 Coffee on Facebook and Instagram, you can find us there. And also, the email is at jose@1885coffee.com. If they have any specific questions or if you wanted to buy, like, more in bulk for any other, like, a business, coffee, church, office, or anything like that.
Okay.
That's where we can reach me. And yeah, the website, 1885coffee.com.
All right. Awesome. All right, bro. It's good talking to you. Hopefully we'll see you in Houston soon.
Yeah, well, I'll be there maybe in a couple of weeks. Actually, next weekend for Christmas weekend, we're going to be there hanging out with Molly's families and my mom as well. She'll be in town. So we'll be around. I'll give you a call.
Is your mom making tamales?
No, she actually no. And the Honduran tamales are different than the Mexican tamales.
Okay.
They're more like more hefty.
Ooh.
A bunch of other stuff in there.
Right. All right, bro.
Bro, so remember, bro, stop change that Boost Mobile.
Yeah, you need to get rid of your Cricket. You need to get off a Cricket and get onto a real wireless carrier.
Bro, that neighbor Wi-Fi, bro. Give it up.
All right, man.
Okay, man.
It was good talking to you. We'll catch up soon. Again, if you're
listening. Okay, brother.
This is Jose Baker with 1855 Coffee. You're listening to Something New. Word up.
Okay. Later, bro.
All right, homie.
Bye-bye.
Man, thank you guys for tuning in today to the Something New podcast. Again, that was Jose Baker with 1885 Coffee. Follow him on Instagram at 1885 Coffee, and that's the number 1885. He's also on Facebook, 1885 Coffee, and you can order online all the awesome blends that he has. That's at 1885coffee.com. We'll see you guys again at the next one. We are doing a series called Doing What You Love. We're going to bring you some great guests soon to just keep going with this series. So thanks again, and we'll see you next time. Boom.